Well, I'm continuing my sermon series on ethics and religious liberty, and I know many of us have wondered, what can I do on a personal basis other than pray, and that's a lot, and vote, which is also very important for Christians to do. What can I do, though, other than those two things to affect change in this culture that I'm living in? What can I do to make a difference? The answer is found in the fact that Jesus has made each believer what he calls the salt of the earth. And that's why I want you to turn to that passage of Scripture. Actually, one verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the first book in the New Testament. Turn to that single verse in the fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 13, and you'll find Jesus' words to us as believers that we are the salt of the earth. Now, last year, I talked about this in Wednesday night prayer meeting, and actually it was more of a discussion with the people that come to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights than an actual talk in a sermon and devotion. And we knew that Jesus called us. He told us that we are the salt of the earth. But what does that mean? Well, we got to thinking, first of all, about the uses of salt. And there are many and varied uses of salt in our daily lives. And then we tried to apply that to our lives as believers to especially influence our communities, our nation, and our world. And so with that much in mind, I hope you've turned in your Bible to that single verse, Matthew 5, verse 13. Where Jesus says to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." I am afraid that that's where many of us believers find ourselves today. There used to be a time as young believers when our life was so filled with excitement and flavor. We seasoned everything that was around us. But in the course of time, maybe we become cold and indifferent. And we have lost our flavor and our ability to affect change in this world that God has placed us in. And when that happens, just like when salt loses its flavor, we lose our value in making changes in this culture. And our culture so desperately needs us. It needs our voice and our influence in this day and in this age. Salt has around 14,000 industrial, medical, and household uses. It is essential to the diet of human beings, of animals, and of many plants. It is so valuable that during the Roman Empire, Roman soldiers were paid in this mineral. As a matter of fact, the Latin word for salary, which the Roman soldiers were paid, is salt. That's why we get the old expression, worth one's salt. It means worth one's pay or worth one's salary. I wonder if your boss or supervisor or manager would say, or your company would even say, you know, he's worth his salt. He's worth his salary. He's worth his pay. She's worth her salt. She's worth her salary. She's worth her pay. More importantly, I wonder what Jesus' evaluation of us would be when it comes to our success in being the salt of the earth. Jesus, as he said here in verse 13, says that Christians can lose their influence just like salt loses its value when it no longer has flavor. Which leads me to the first point of this message in your sermon notes today, and that is that salt and Christians as the salt of the earth should be a seasoning agent. Salt seasons. And I bring you to Colossians 4, verse 6, which is there on the screen. Paul made three phrases here of extreme importance, talking about our influence on those around us. He said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let's take those three phrases apart and talk about what it means to be a seasoning agent in the lives of those people who are around us. First of all, he says, let your speech always be with grace. That means that when we engage our lost culture, we should be tasteful. We should be loving. We should be kind. God has been so wonderful to, by his mercy, forgive us and extend his grace to us. Dear Christian brother and sister, who are we not to extend God's grace to this lost world that is around us? But look at the second phrase in Colossians 4:6. It says that our speech should be seasoned with salt. That simply means that we should not be bland and boring. What a sin it is for the lost world to think that Christians are bland and boring. We need to always be the type of people that create interest in the things that we have to say and the things that we have to do. We should add flavor to the conversations that we are engaged in. We should spice things up when we are around. Does that describe you? Well, that describes the Christian in Colossians 4:6. And then look at the last phrase there in Colossians 4:6. It says that when we are seasoned with salt in our speech, that we will be able to know how we ought to answer each one. We live in a world full of skeptics who are waiting for us to give a clear and right answer to their objections. And when our speech is seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt, we can fulfill what 1 Peter 3:15 says about us, and that is that we should be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. As a Christian, you have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ living within you. And because of that, you will live forever in heaven with him. But there's all kinds of skeptics around us in this lost and dying world that are waiting for the right answer from us when we're engaged in conversations with them about the truth of God's word and his son. I was so happy to hear from our youth minister, Trey Pate, this last Wednesday, as he described to me the week before his time in Orlando at the Student Leadership University with many of our teenagers and adults, and how they were so sharpened in their skills in expressing their faith and growing as disciples of the Lord. And one of the highlights that Trey shared with me was that when Sean McDowell, the son of Josh McDowell, spoke to the young people, and he took on the role of an atheist. As a matter of fact, he literally put on a pair of glasses. He said, these are my atheist glasses. And now I want you to talk to me and answer my objections. And what a challenge it was to speak with that young intellectual who took on the persona and the argument of the atheist. That's why I'm so excited that later this week, Trey and Scott Klusendorf and I are getting together to talk about how we can bring to our young people an effective tool of apologetics and defense of the right to life, and especially in the case of the unborn. The lost and dying world all around us has objections, and they think we don't have the answers. And we do have the answers from God's Word and from our own transformed lives. But if your life as a believer has lost its savor, it has lost its flavor, it has lost its seasoning, you need to be renewed today. You need revival in your life. You need to be rededicated so that that part of your life that used to be so exciting can now be rejuvenated and given life that can make a difference in other people's lives. But in your notes, as we think about salt, we also think about ourselves as Christians. And a Christian not only seasons, but secondly, a Christian cleans. Salt cleans everything from bad breath to smelly tennis shoes. Most people don't realize that the alcohol-based, artificially flavored, fruit-dyed liquid that they gargle with every morning is not as effective in making your breath fresher than just salt water, warm salt water. Salt is a cleaning agent. It affects everything from the top of your head and your mouth to the shoes on your feet, teenagers. Mom and dad, if you've got some teenagers that have some real rank tennis shoes, the cure for that is to sprinkle salt in those tennis shoes. Mix a little baking soda in there, and it will remove the foul odor, and that tennis shoe will go on to live another month or two. And so whenever you're preparing salt shakers, Mom, don't only prepare them for the kitchen cabinet and the cupboard, but prepare them for your teenager's bedroom, or better yet, the garage. And it will do a lot to help freshen things up in your own personal life in a very practical way. Also, you probably didn't know this, but if you took two parts baking soda and one part salt and mixed them together, it would form a mixture that you could place in the palm of your hand, and you could take a wet toothbrush, rub it in there, and brush your teeth, and your teeth would be cleaner and brighter than anything you could buy in a tube on the shelf. As a matter of fact, a lot of these senior citizens remember the days when you couldn't buy toothpaste in a tube, and that was the home remedy for cleaning one's teeth, is just to mix baking soda with salt and a wet toothbrush and brush your teeth. And it not only cleans up and freshens your breath, but it makes your teeth bright and sparkling. Christians should be like salt. We are the salt of the earth. We should have a purifying effect on the world that is around us. Our lifestyle and our words should positively influence even the worst of people and situations. But salt not only seasons, salt not only cleans, but salt preserves. Ever since the Middle Ages, salt has been used to preserve perishable foods. And a lot of ladies know this, that if you want to keep cut flowers in your home fresh, then what you do is you take some salt and mix it in the water of the vase, and it will make your flowers last a day or two longer. Salt has an amazing ability to preserve. And I think anyone who has their finger on the pulse of our society would quickly admit that our world has corrupted what is good in our society and culture. Many of the values taught in the Bible, taught by our mom and dad and our grandparents, are being destroyed. They are under attack, and Christians are called to preserve what is good in our world. It makes a difference in our culture and in our society. Are you fighting to preserve what is right? Are you fighting to preserve the character and the values that are taught in God's Word, that were taught you by previous generations? Are you just laying back and letting it take its natural course? You have lost your flavor, sir. You've lost your seasoning, ma'am. You've lost your preserving effect, young person. God wants to use you as the salt of this earth. But salt not only seasons, salt not only cleans and preserves, but salt also stings. There's a scripture I have up on the screen for you from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. And there under this point of stinging, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." We don't normally think of wounds as being a good thing, and we certainly don't think of wounds being inflicted on us by a friend. But this is a wise proverb, because if someone really loves you, they will tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. And sometimes that has a stinging effect on us. It makes us uncomfortable. It can even be painful. I'm wearing a Band-Aid on my right middle finger this morning. It was placed there last night by my wife. I had gone out and shown her a huge blister on the side of my middle ring finger, and I tried to figure out how in the world this blister that was almost as long as that digit on my finger got there. And I remembered that I had taken a mug and filled it up with some delicious stew that Amy had made the day before, and I'd stuck it in the microwave and put it on a couple of minutes, and oh, it was so good. But I didn't realize that the handle that I was holding that hot liquid in was actually burning my finger, and it made a huge blister. And I showed it to Amy, and the first words out of her mouth were, "I need to lance that." And I thought, well, that's not necessary, you know. It can take care of itself in time. She says, "No, it needs to be lanced. You stay right here." And so she went and got her sewing kit with all different sizes of needles. I mean, this looked like an operating room in our kitchen countertop. All the alcohol swabs, the antibiotics, the Band-Aids, all this other stuff. And she held my hand down with one of her hands, and with the other, she took a needle and skillfully punctured that wound, and then she drained the liquid out of that blister, and the relief was immediate. Then she applied the antibiotic, and then she placed the Band-Aid on my finger. It was not something that I was wanting at the time, but it promoted health in my life. There's some young people sitting here today. There's some adults sitting here today that have had some painful words shared with them by their parents, by their teachers, by their coaches, by their ministers, by their friends. And at the time that advice and counsel was given, it was not appreciated. It was considered to be injurious and something that someone that loved you would surely not do. But now, as you sit back months and in some cases years later, you can see how those wounds inflicted in your life were actually for your benefit. They were for your healing. They were for your good. And in today's church, it seems like that we have tried to remove the stinging effect of the prophetic message of the Word of God. And we cannot do that, friends. We must preach the full counsel of God's Word. And when it stings, when it confronts, we must let it speak as it was delivered by the Holy Spirit. To do any less is to not love the people that we share God's word with. And so we must care by confronting. A doctor many times has to hurt us in order to heal us. Many times the remedy cannot be known without the pain that accompanies it first. In the same way, we as the salt of the earth are not doing our full job if we do not, out of a heart of love and compassion and concern, share things that are beneficial to our culture. Even those things we don't want to share because we're afraid they might offend, we're afraid they might hurt. If we love that person, we will love them enough to confront them, no matter how much it might sting. That leads, ironically, to the next point about a Christian as a salt of the earth. Because he or she not only stings, but he or she, like salt, heals. Saline solutions are used to promote health in everything, from nasal washes at home to intravenous drips in the hospital. As a matter of fact, Amy has had a sore throat this whole last week, and the way that she's gotten relief from that pain with her sore throat is to take salt water and gargle it. Salt does so many things to help heal us. Many, many household uses and many institutional uses for promoting health through salts. You know, back in 2008, I had the wonderful pleasure of going to the Holy Land. And one of the highlights of our trip was going to the Dead Sea. And the reason the Dead Sea is so unique is because it is filled with salts. There are salt beds that our own Greg Travis has seen with his own eyes in a business trip out there that are so enormous on one side of the Dead Sea that from a satellite view or a shuttle photograph, and you can Google this, you can look at the Dead Sea and you can see a white strip around this particular side of the Dead Sea. That's the salt beds that are there. And that's how much salt is in the Dead Sea. It's manufactured for all kinds of uses. And so one thing all of our fellow tourists wanted to do when we got to the Dead Sea was to go into it, because we had heard that it makes you so buoyant, is that the word? That when you get in it, you float. You float without even trying to float, because of the salt that is concentrated in there. And then we were told we ought to take the mud from the bank and put it all over our faces and our hands and our arms and our legs, because it would help us. Well, I'd gone to the Holy Land with a sore on my head that would not heal. I had tried everything under the sun. I'd applied everything under the sun to this pretty large sore on my forehead that would not heal. The next day, after we were in the Dead Sea, there was no trace at all of that abrasion on my forehead. Oh, friend, salt has amazing uses, and one of its most amazing uses is that it heals. And dear Christian, dear salt of the earth, there are people all around you who are hurting. They are hurting emotionally. They are hurting spiritually. They are hurting physically. And God has made us the salt of the earth so that we could be the agents of healing in their lives, that we might bind up the wounds of our society, our culture, and our nation by acting as we ought to act, ministering as we ought to minister, as the salt of the earth. Finally, salt creates thirst. You know, popcorn and potato chips, salted nuts, just make us thirsty just even thinking about them. This morning for breakfast, I had a country ham biscuit. And boy, that country ham was so good, but it was so salty. It made me so thirsty, and it reminded me of this message today, that just like that country ham, or just like those salted nuts or popcorn or peanuts create thirst in my life, my presence in this lost and dying world should create a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can satiate the thirsty soul of our lost and dying world. He said himself over in John 6, verse 35, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." Oh, we live with people who have tried to quench their thirst with all kinds of things that this world offers, and none of it works. None of it lasts. The only thing that will satisfy your soul, the only thing that will make you whole, is the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is here, offering himself to you. Your thirsty and parched soul can find relief that this world can't give today if you'll just take a drink from his flowing fountain, if you'll just believe in him. I pray that you will, as we bow together and as we pray. Oh, dear Father, how we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you that he has brought meaning, purpose, and abundance to our lives. And we ask, dear Lord, that if there is anyone that is here who is thirsty and has tried everything that this world has to offer to quench their thirst, that they would by faith turn to you and partake of the water that will allow us to never thirst again. Father, for those of us that are already believers, we feel like we need to be rejuvenated. We feel like we need to be renewed because we've lost our flavor. We've lost our healing effect. We've lost our stinging effect. We've lost our seasoning effect. We've lost our preserving and purifying effect. And Father, we don't want to be trampled in the doorway any longer. We want to make a difference in this community. We want to make a difference in our nation and in our world. Help us to be renewed in our faith so that we would be that seasoning agent you intended us to always be. Father, for some of us, that means that we need to be a part of a church family. And Father, for those that are looking for a church home, I pray that you might give them clear direction. And if this is the place that you would have them serve with their life to make a difference in this world, I pray that you would give them the peace and the courage and the faith to do that. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.